Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about the trials of singleness. Remember that singleness is one of those areas in which our faith is tested. Do we really believe in God? Do we really believe that He loves us and that His wisdom is far beyond us in giving or withholding things that we might want or not want? It's a trial of faith, of course. Yesterday, I read a most encouraging letter from a woman who said that at a certain conference, she had learned how to commit her desires to God one day at a time. And the speaker had said, God is not asking you to commit your life for singleness for the rest of your life. God is asking you to be willing to accept the singleness today. Just single till supper, or single till tomorrow. And that's a very simple, not easy, but simple scriptural principle. God gives us one day at a time. The Bible says you do not know what a day may bring forth. We never know what a day may bring forth. We only know what God has given us to do this day. I have another letter here. She says, I have read your book, Passion and Purity, no less than 7 times. Well, she hasn't measured up to the one that told me she'd read it 200 times, but 7 times is quite a record too, isn't it? Thank you for your encouragement to those of us who are single and still pure, meaning that she has not given away her virginity, sometimes almost an embarrassment at the age of 30, not to be married or promised. I have truly struggled with the feelings of loneliness and separateness. Yet your words and simple, honest comments remind me and call me to sacrifice. May I mention here that I have written a book on the subject of loneliness because I think I know something about it. Even though I have had 3 husbands, I've been single more years than I've been married. And during my years in the jungles of Ecuador, I was often very lonely. The book is called The Path of Loneliness. She goes on to say, while I have no way of knowing if I will ever get married, meet someone to marry, or any of these, I know that God loves me. You reinforce God's sovereignty in all situations. So often we are sucked in by this New Age Christianity that so permeates our society. We forget that God did not promise happiness. He promised heaven, and He demands obedience. I think I better read that one again. We forget that God did not promise happiness. He promised heaven, and He demands obedience. What a hard lesson to learn, and your insights into the character of Jim Elliot and your relationship with him through Christ really helps. Thank you for sharing the deep personal private struggles which you recorded in your journal so many years ago. So much has changed, yet men and women remain the same. We need to hear again and again the call to holiness. Thank you, Melinda. I appreciated that one. And here are some wise words from some old writers, starting out with a verse from Exodus 16:8. The Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. Murmur is an old word for complaint. Without murmur, uncomplaining in his hand, leave whatever things you cannot understand. Without murmur, uncomplaining in his hand, leave whatever things you cannot understand. One great characteristic of holiness is never to complain. Each complaint drags us down a degree in our upward course. If you would like to know in whom God's Spirit dwells, watch that person and notice whether you ever hear him complain. When we wish things to be otherwise than they are, we lose sight of the great practical parts of the life of godliness. We wish and sigh, when, if we have done all that lies on us, we should fall quietly into the hands of God. Such wishing cuts the very sinews of our privileges and consolations. You are leaving me for a time, and you say that you wish you could leave me better, or leave me with some assistance. But if it is right for you to go, it is right for me to meet what lies on me, without a wish that I had less to meet, or were better able to meet it. And that last quotation there reminded me of the time when Jim Elliot was my husband, and he was going to go off on, I think, a 10-day reconnoitering trek in the jungle. And I was dreading that. I didn't really want to see my fairly new husband leave so soon for so long, and I said so, told him I was going to miss him. And I'll never forget the sternness with which he turned and looked at me, and he said, "Bet, you shouldn't talk that way to me, because I believe that this is what God wants me to do, and you're making it hard for me." We need to accept the trials of our faith. And Amy Carmichael wrote, "And shall I pray thee, change thy will, my Father, until it be according unto mine? But no, Lord, no, that never shall be. Rather, I pray thee, blend my human will with thine. I pray thee, hush the hurrying, eager longing. I pray thee, soothe the pangs of keen desire. See in my quiet places wishes thronging. Forbid them, Lord, purge, though it be with fire. And work in me to will and do your pleasure, till all within me, peaceful, reconciled, tarry content my well-beloved's leisure, at last, even as a weaned child." And let me read a passage which has been very crucial in my own spiritual life. Of course, there are many of those, but this one came with tremendous power when I was living with the group of Indians called Aucas in a very isolated place, 3 days by trail and canoe from the nearest mission station, and a place where people there used clay pots. And verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4 says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. And there's just one little instance in which our singleness we can accept as a being given over to death for Jesus' sake, death to myself, life to his will, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, and I'm very conscious of that at my age. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. And I'm conscious of that too, thanks be to God. Verse 17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." I love that verse, "our light and momentary troubles." Remember who it is that's saying this. It's Paul. He had been through some tremendous sufferings and hardships, and we have quite a list of them in the, I think it's the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, a long list of shipwrecks and starving and imprisonment and floggings, etc., etc. This is the man who is saying, these little troubles, these light and momentary troubles are doing something for us. They are achieving something. This is what it says. They are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Your singleness, which is such a trial to you and such a sorrow to so many, and the cause of so much envy and anger at God, if you accept it, then it can be achieving for you an eternal glory that is going to far outweigh all the things that you think you missed out on. May God help you to trust Him for His choices for you and say, "Yes, Lord."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.